Welcome to Product-Led Growth Leaders, where we learn about the bold path of building digital products that sell themselves. Let's listen to product leaders who can give us a glimpse into the innovative thinking process. Showcasing and celebrating these awesome folks, I'm your host, UX and product design veteran, Thomas Watkins. Welcome to Product-Led Growth Leaders. We've got a great guest for the show today, Shubho Holdar. He comes very much from an engineering background. He's been a tech lead, spending his career building lots of cool things. Today, he is co-founder and CEO of AppNox, empowering global organizations to secure their mobile apps with a platform that's been recognized by Gartner. Shubho, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Thomas. Honestly, it's not every day a hacker gets invited to talk about growth instead of vulnerabilities. But yeah, I usually spend my time breaking apps for a living, ethically, of course. So yeah, the AppNox started with a hack and a hunch almost 11 years ago. And today we help companies avoid getting featured on front page for the wrong reasons.
Okay, so hold on. This is excellent. So let's take this step by step. I want to start with your background hacking and how that led to you discovering and realizing this idea. So were you working in a corporate capacity on doing hacking? Or just how did that turn into something? Was it something you did as a teenager and it turned into a career? How did that manifest?
So ideally, it all started because of my teenage love life. I wanted to figure out who all my ex-girlfriend, now she's my ex, of course, I was trying to send messages to whom. And that's how I started my hacking career journey. And I mean, there is a story about me in the internet about that as well. And that's how I got into the mobile app hacking scenes.
Wait, hold on. I'm sorry. I just got to stop you there. So you're saying you had a personal situation that involved a need to do digital forensics. Is that the case? And then you got into it through that. Okay. So personal situation. Then you started learning about this stuff. Okay.
Yeah. And then what happened was I wrote a white paper about how I got into that time. Android was a big thing. And I got into how to get message and phone call records from an Android device. And I open sourced that tool and I got an invite into this really big hacking conference called Black Hat to talk about my white paper. And that kind of sparked an idea like, hey, I'm here trying to break stuff and getting invited into conferences while I'm in college. And that's great. And what can I do to reverse that? Which means what can I do to protect people and protect companies from actually leaking such sensitive information, which I was able to figure out while I was trying to do it, right? And that was the idea of how I started AppNox at that point of time.
Great. And before we dive into your solution, give us some examples of situations that affect corporations, affect individuals, and affect the primary use cases that you deal with. But I want to focus first on the problem so that we all in the audience appreciate why this is a big deal.
Absolutely. So when I started my career, it was into application security itself. One of the major hack at that point of time happened with this major company called Starbucks. So Starbucks had leaked all the information of all their members, and it's a public hack, and it's there all over the news. And I was like, wow, that's a huge company. How can they mess this up? And that kind of pushed me towards figuring things out. Hey, what can I do next? And then I started participating into things called bug bounty, where I figure out security hacks for famous companies like Facebook, Google, and give them the security report, and they pay me for that, right? They still have those programs in, and I was a part of their bug bounty team, and I was getting recognition because of that. And that kind of pushed me further towards, I think even these bigger corporations and bigger companies are still facing such issues where they are trying to utilize the global people who are interested in doing good research have come on board. So that kind of made me understand that, hey, application security itself is a huge thing, but mobile related stuff, there was a turnaround point which happened with me. So I like Uber in India, there is another very famous ride hailing taxi aggregator in India. And I figured out their wallet system was compromised and I can take unlimited free rides. And that kind of told me that, hey, something is there. People are able to still secure their websites and everything, but mobile app becomes a little bit hazy towards understanding where the security controls needs to be. And it is important to understand that mobile devices which you use are so personal because you have your credit card information, you have all your personal identifiable information, your license, your very important information are all stored in your mobile devices. Even now, you have your biometric information stored in these devices. So if any application in those devices get hacked, the hacker and attacker can get a lot more information, and it's pretty difficult to control that. The other thing which I figured out is in the web world, whenever someone fixes issues, it just goes up in the world and the fix is immediately available to everyone. Unfortunately, in a mobile world, it is not true. It is a responsibility as a user of the mobile device for you to update the application, right? And that itself is a little bit big problem. Understanding these problems made me realize that, hey, I think there's a gap. And I'm talking about 11 years ago, right? And I think there's a gap. And then a lot of businesses started going mobile only. So if you look at Instacart or any other such applications, their major traffic comes from their mobile application and not from their website. A lot of people use mobile devices to actually interact with those companies and not the web application. And that kind of fell into my plate, like, hey, we need to look at this in a very different way, not in the way where all the major world security companies are looking at. And that kind of gave me an idea to start off. Yeah.
Excellent. Excellent. So walk us through how AppNox, and for everyone who wants to check it out, let's make sure that we've got the URL so that everyone can find it. AppNox, the word app spelled regularly, then KNOX. Yeah. And that is at, what is the domain for that?
It's appnox.com.
.com is just .com. Okay, great. Walk us through AppNox.
All right. I'm a huge lover of Greek mythology. And if you know about Fort Knox and Trojan horses, and I love those stories, what I really wanted to build is a kind of a Fort Knox for application. And that's how the name AppNox came into picture. And we started AppNox almost 11 years ago with a basic idea about, hey, is there a way I can help these developers who do not know a lot of security to make sure that their application is secured enough before they go ahead and publish it in the App Store or Play Store? That was the basic general idea how we started AppNox. And that kind of hit it off because a lot of businesses at that point of time just wanted to push more and more applications in the store, getting more and more tractions because a lot of revenue is coming from the app ecosystem, right? A lot of in-app purchases has started. A lot of people are buying subscriptions. Like if you look at Netflix, if you look at others, a lot of such revenues are coming from the App Store and Play Store. And one of the major revenue which Apple gets is from the App Store monetization program, right? So you can understand how big that market becomes. And that's how we started the whole AppNox journey. We were invited to Singapore. That's our HQ by the Singapore government and a few accelerators based out of Singapore to get started on the journey. And then we slowly expanded into other regions like the US and India. And now we offer our solution and it's not limited just on the application security, but also today's changing landscape and technology with AI coming into picture. We now also do AI-based assessment and AI-powered mobile app security stuff as well. So I can deep dive more into it depending on where you want to take this ahead.
Yeah. So let me make sure that we know who this is for. It's for the individual who's using their mobile device and using their apps, not so much for the company itself, or is it for both, or one of the two?
It is for the businesses, because we are trying to make sure the businesses are secured.
Gotcha.
Because individuals, it is not possible to make individuals who are using applications to be aware of security. One of the biggest problem is the security awareness. I can't expect my dad to know whether this application is secured enough or not. And it is more important for businesses to make sure that they do not lose out revenues. And that's why we work with businesses with their application to make sure that their application is more secure. So we focused on mobile applications over here.
Are the security problems equal across iOS and Android platforms, or is one more vulnerable than the other?
That's a great question. And one of the things which I keep saying, iOS seems more secured as a device, but unfortunately, it is not about the device or not about the OEM, in this case, Apple or Google. It is about the developers who are developing the application. An iOS app can be equally or even more vulnerable than an Android application. It's just that doing a security assessment for Android is much more easier than an iOS. But that does not give a discount on that. So I think it's more of it's more equal in terms of vulnerable applications which are out there. And there has been a Gartner study as well on that, like how many mobile applications are secured in the Play Store or App Store. And what they have found is there are almost equal number of applications which are vulnerable in both Play Store and App Store.
Yeah. Oh. And so a company who is building a product and they're going to have apps available in the App Store, they should be the ones using AppNox.
Yes, they should be. And then there are companies who has a lot of internal applications as well, and they should as well use it. One of the sector where we are really bullish on is the airlines sector. So a lot of internal mobile applications are used for passenger check-ins, for baggage tracking system. And these are all internal applications. These are not external facing applications, which are really important as well. And if by chance, if any of these applications are leaking information or are not secured enough, it can compromise the whole infrastructure of the airline. So just to give you one such example. So yeah.
Tell us what the marketplace looks like currently that you have entered, and what do most solutions do in this space? What are they expected to do from a table stakes perspective, and where are you differentiating?
Sure. One of the major problem in the mobile app space is the language which you use to write the applications, right? Most of our competitor, they now have to support a lot of different languages. By default, we know Android applications are written in Java, and iOS applications are written in Swift or Objective-C. But then right now, we have different such languages like Flutter or HTML, CSS or PhoneGap system, and so many other languages you can write this mobile application. So one of the basic differentiating factors with us is we work on top of the binary of the application. We don't care what language you write the application on, right? Which kind of gives us a lot of smoother onboarding for our customer, because we don't care whether you have written the app in a specific language. We only care if you can give us the executable for the Android or the iOS. It's like an exe file which you run in Windows. There's similar APK for Android or IPA for iOS application. We just need that, and we can figure out a whole lot of things just from that binary. Yeah.
Is it a difficult or easy process getting you guys set up? So if I'm and how does that kind of unfold? If I'm a product company, product vendor, and I've got my product team, I've got the IT, the no team, you know, whatever. Is there a normal place also in the agile process to where you intersect? Or is it part of the QA process? Do you have, how does that sort of link into things?
Sure. I'll divide this question into two parts. First is the onboarding process. One of the major things which we kept in mind is onboarding has to be smooth, which means if we onboard a customer today, they should be up and running within the next 1 minute. And the way we do it is we tell them that you do not need to invite your developers or anybody. You can just paste in a Play Store or App Store URL, and that is it, right? The second is you can also upload your executable binary, and there's no such dependencies to get onboarded into the platform. That kind of makes it a lot more easier to onboard people, but then becomes a little bit more difficult task about integrating these processes inside their DevOps cycle. So we also have our CI/CD pipeline integrations where we can integrate with your DevOps lifecycle and provide security on the pipeline itself, where we sit in your pipeline, where the source code is, and once the source code gets compiled into an APK or an IPA, it can be automatically uploaded into our dashboard, and we can automatically fail the build depending on what kind of security issues which we have found. Again, we keep it very simple for developers and businesses to understand or get onboarded into the Appnox platform. So yeah.
Tell us a little bit about the AI security stuff that you touched on a few minutes ago.
Absolutely. See, AI is changing the landscape like a fire, I would say. What we started understanding when the AI came into place is we started first by looking at what are the most popular AI applications which are out there. And we started taking apart applications such as DeepSeek or Perplexity. And we found a lot of bunch of security misconfigurations in these applications, which may not be AI specific security misconfigurations, but these are misconfigurations related to mobile, which can be exploited to actually use the AI models for free. We actually went ahead and published this in our blogs as well. And we tried to then work with enterprises who are coming up with AI-based applications. And what we are trying to do is we just recently released a feature called AI model detection, where we detect what kind of AI you are using, because sometimes enterprises don't even know. The visibility aspect is the first step towards AI security. So we give them a visibility, what kind of model are you using inside the application? And then followed by, we do a pen testing on top of the AI. All of these are all automated. So where we figure out what kind of prompts or what kind of AI model hallucination it does, and kind of tell, hey, these are the issues which is there. So this is security for AI, but then we also use AI for security as well. We recently launched something called StoreNox, where we use the help of AI to detect fake applications in the App Store and Play Store as well, and kind of help businesses take those applications down. So that's another thing which we just recently released. We got a huge good response about that. So at Appnox, our mantra is it's just not just AI. It is AI for security and security for AI. It needs to be a whole-fledged coverage system which needs to happen for AI to come into reality. So that's what we are trying to do.
Nice. And so for everyone listening who's thinking about using Appnox for their tool that they're building, what are some of the roadmap items over the next 18 months or so that you're excited about and you'd like your new customers to be excited about?
Great. So we are really excited about AI to be used in terms of pen testing. Just to give you before I say more about it, let me just give you a preface to it. We are a product-led company, and then we also have a product-led services component in the company where some of these enterprises, they also want us to manually intervene and figure issues out, right? So we have a team of security researchers. Now what we are doing is we are using this team of security researchers to build an AI model to automate that, and that can be sold as a, hey, you want a security researcher, I'm going to sell you an AI model which is going to act like a security researcher to actually manually go through all the issues and figure out which are the issues which needs to be solved. So this is something which we are trying to do. We are trying to automate as much as possible using AI, and we are trying to not replace, but make it more efficient for people who are using us. So that's what the idea is. In the roadmap items, I can talk about a lot of automations are in place. So we are releasing an AI bot, which can automatically, like an ethical hacker, can go ahead and tear apart an app and figure things out. So that's something which we are releasing pretty soon. We are also releasing the brand abuse part of it, which I just talked about, StoreNox, where we figure out fake application and cloned application. Right now, we do it for App Store and the Play Store. We're increasing it to include more other third-party Play Store, and we're going to increase it to the overall internet worldwide to figure out if there's any application hosted somewhere in a Google Drive, which is a malware. We're going to pick that up, and we're going to use AI to figure out whether it's a cloned app or a fake application.
So that feature you mentioned in the... I'm sorry, yeah. Go ahead.
No, these are some of the things which we are trying to build using AI as a thing.
Yeah, no, sorry. I had a question about one of the middle ones you mentioned. It's very interesting. So you have, it's going to be an agentic AI, one of the ones you mentioned in the middle, that acts like a hacker and then just on its own and knows how to execute and pick things to try to hack and execute
exactly.
Wow, that's awesome. And what is it like, deliver a report after it does that?
So the idea is, see, every security tool in the world, their end product is a report. What we want to build in this one is not just a report, but steps to reproduce, right? What is the step it took to actually go and exploit the issues which is there, and hence it's an issue, right? That becomes more actionable for businesses, because generally all the tool is going to say, hey, these are the five vulnerabilities which needs to be fixed. What we are going to say, that not only these are five bunch of vulnerabilities, but this is how we figured out that this is a vulnerability, and you get the whole trace back of how we reach there, so that they can understand, they can replicate it, and they can fix it even more faster.
Nice. This is excellent stuff. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been speaking with Shubho Holdar of AppNox.com. So make sure you check that out, and we'll be watching you guys to see how successful you are over the years and as I'm taking more and more of the exciting new area. Thank you so much for coming to the show today, Shubho.
Thank you so much, Thomas, for having me. It was great talking to you.
Likewise. Thank you for tuning in. Join us next time on Product-Led Growth Leaders. Take care.